10. 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? How many times have we heard this gospel and maybe wondered ourselves, well, just what happened to the other 9 and where did they go? We often use this gospel if we are celebrating and putting together a special mass for Thanksgiving Day, because the whole motif of this particular gospel speaks powerfully to the Thanksgiving theme. We should, after all, say thank you when someone is so good to us as to have cured us from our leprosy. The Samaritan seems to have gotten the point here, and he alone returns. And he returns doing 2 things, we might notice, glorifying God and thanking Jesus. Now the other 9, notice, were strong, one with the Samaritan in saying, Jesus, Master, have pity on me. The other 9 obeyed what Jesus said, and they took themselves off to show themselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now the problem here is not that they went off to show themselves to the priest. The act was absolutely necessary for them to re-enter the society and return to regular life. Remember that at the time of Jesus, this kind of an illness was considered to be the response or the fallout from sin. It may not have been your own sin, but it was your parents' sin. But anyone who had leprosy was considered sinful and untouchable, not just because of the disease, but because of the spiritual relationship as well. So it is important that you go and show yourself to the priest and have that re-entry into the society. However, once cleansed, you would kind of expect some statement of appreciation to the one who has just cleansed you from leprosy. This is no accident in the Luke's gospel. First, let's notice where the cure took place. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to offer himself for the salvation of the whole human race. And we do this on a border. And the border is between Samaria and Galilee in the gospel, but really the border is between 2 hatred nations, 2 communities who have little or nothing to do with each other, excluded each other, and considered everything that the other nation did to be sinful and wrong. Mutual rejection and true hatred stood on this border. So it's no accident that St. Luke places this healing in this place. Jesus hears the plea, and Jesus answers. And he answers all 10 of them. This Jewish prophet heals the Samaritan as well as the Jew. He who cries out, Jesus, Master, have pity on me. He acts with pity and he cleanses the Samaritan right along with the Jews. For Luke, Jesus must be truly Messiah. And the Messiah has to come and be the Redeemer of all. And the borders are no longer in existence here because he must speak and invite all to the wonder of his cleansing. Now only one returns. Where were the other 9? The Samaritan who returns does 2 things, as I said earlier. He glorifies God, and he recognizes that indeed he has been cured by the power of God. And therefore this Jew must be significant in this time. And so he falls down at his feet. He falls down at his feet and he thanks him. And now he becomes available for a second healing. What is the Lord's response to this Samaritan kneeling before him whom he has just cured of leprosy? Stand up. Go. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. A whole new and much deeper gift is received. One not expected, one not anticipated. But the magnanimous gesture on the part of Jesus to the salvation of the cleansed. The Samaritan is not only made clean of his leprosy, but he is cleansed his whole being to the very depths of his soul by the saving power of God. This leads us to understand then that Jesus is not only the physical healer, but he is also one who can bring us to God's salvation and the connection, not only with our bodies, but with our souls before the Lord our God. The Lord our God before whom this Samaritan kneels. All 10 were cleansed. All 10 were made physically whole by the saving power of Jesus. They were now, went off, the other 9. They showed themselves to the priest, and they were allowed to re-enter normal society. They could actually go home, eat with their family again, and live a normal life. But in their lack of appreciation, they've missed the depth of Jesus. In this event in Luke's gospel, the borders are torn down, the salvation of Jesus is proclaimed, and it is proclaimed as available to everyone. The simple act of thanksgiving, the return to giving thanks to Jesus for his gift that brought about his physical healing, has now created for the Samaritan something much, much deeper. And we can only assume that the other 9 missed this. They missed the real point of Jesus. Rise up. Go. Your faith has saved you. Now, when we read the Gospel of Luke, we know that each and every incident in that Gospel is given to us to give us 3 sources of information. The first source of information is to tell us something about Jesus. Certainly, this Gospel does that well. It also tells us something about the society in which Jesus lived and the people with whom he interacted and stuff of that nature that goes on. But also, we cannot miss the third level. The third level that Luke has considered to be probably the most important level. And that is, while it tells us about Jesus and it tells us about his society, it also tells us something about ourselves. It tells us something about the present church. The reality in which we live. Because the Gospel of Luke is the living Word of God and is intended to enter into our soul and our heart as well. And so, how does this event speak to us? How do we respond to this event? Or more specifically, in the very Jesuitic sense of the word, who are we in this event? Who are we if we enter into this gospel and see ourselves functioning? Are we, first of all, wise enough to yell out, Jesus, Master, have pity on me? And are we humble enough to receive the healing that he will give? And are we wise enough to appreciate and give thanks for the wonders that he presents to us? Now, a little insight into this answer might be revealed by your coming into this church this morning, this very familiar place where you come Sunday after Sunday. When you came in this morning, did you kneel down before your God? And did you begin your prayer, give me, give me, give me? I need, I need, I need. This is my problem, this is my problem, this is my problem. Or did we come in, kneel down, and glorify God? We come in and kneel down and express our profound appreciation, our deep gratitude, our thanksgiving for all that indeed God has given us. Was this our first thought? Was this our first reason for being here? We come, remember, as Catholic Christians. And Catholics Christians don't simply go to church on Sunday. Catholic Christians come to celebrate Eucharist. Catholic Christians come that they might give thanks. We come to thank God, the Almighty Father, for the phenomenal gift of His Son, Jesus. Just listen to some of the things we are going to say together in the next few minutes at this altar. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just to give Him thanks and praise. We thank You for counting us worthy to stand in Your presence and serve You. We offer You, in thanksgiving, this holy and living sacrifice. Those are the very words, concept, and purpose of our worship. Can we then, with the Samaritan, realize that indeed we have been cleansed? Can we return and glorify our God and give thanks, thus living our faith in such a way that we can hear and know and experience that same Lord saying to us, "Stand up, go, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you." Where were the other nine? Who were the other nine? And if we are in this morning as well, where and who are we? Are we returning to give thanks? Thanksgiving to the Father for His Son. Certainly we have known Jesus as one who cares for our many forms of leprosy, both physical and spiritual. We have known Him as the one who, from the cross and through His resurrection, has saved us, both of which we commemorate at this altar this morning. Then if we know that, we certainly need to return here today, giving glory to God and thanks as well. Is this not why the church requires us to come to Mass, to come to Eucharist? Because the church knows the importance of the gifts we have received. The depth of our gratitude and appreciation is expressed every time we kneel in Eucharist. Every time we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Every time we come to Mass, we receive the secondfold gift of the Samaritan. We renew again our salvation in Christ Jesus, the Lord.